Yeah. Today, as you all know, is the last day of 2017. Who would have thought it, huh? We all think, man, didn't we just get, going with 2017 and now we're almost at the end of it. I don't know about you, but for me, 2017 has been kind of like a mixed year. I've experienced a lot of joy from the growth of the church, from you growing. It's been amazing to see. But in some other sense, 2017 has been kind of a challenging year for me personally. But I thank God that His sustaining grace is always enough for me so that I can stand here right now in front of you because of His grace. So I want to encourage you. If you have been having it tough in 2017, I want you to hang in there. I want you to continue to have faith in God because His mercies for you are new every morning. In 2018, you have to believe. You can't rely on 2017 mercies. God has already prepared new mercies for you for 2018. Yeah? So hang in there. Trust God. God knows what's going on. He's still in control. Well, we can't talk about New Year without talking about New Year's resolution. How many of you enjoy making New Year's resolution? Raise your hands. One, couple of people. I'm not very fond of making New Year's resolution. I'm not, I have some objectives I need to do for 2018, but I'm not a big New Year's resolution guy. I know some of you are huge, right? You have your own notebook set aside, you have your tabs, you have your Excel spreadsheet, you have the checklist, you have the apps, whatever. You know, I get it, I appreciate that. I think you're a bit sick, but whatever, right? Now, for some of us though, it's not that big a deal. Now, how many of you know what is the number one New Year's resolution on everybody's list of all time? I actually checked this. I went to a website. I went to Time Magazine website. And Time Magazine listed top 10 New Year's resolutions of all time. Any one of you care to guess what's on the top of the list? Losing weight. That's right. Losing weight has always been on the top of the list, which is kind of funny and ironic. People have always been complaining, oh, the economy is bad, but we're still fat and we still need to lose weight. Yeah? So let me give you the rest of the list for those of you who are curious what the list looks like. Losing weight, quit smoking, learning something new, eat healthier or diet, get out of debt, more time with family, travel to new places, be less stressed, volunteer. I don't know why volunteer is there. All the list has been about me, but I feel kind of bad. Okay, maybe I volunteer. If I have time, after all, it's number 9 on my list. And drink less. I think that meant alcohol. By the way, if you have problem with smoking and alcohol, I suggest you move that on the top of your list. All right? Because it doesn't make sense. You want to spend more time with your family, but you want to smoke and die. So anyway. So that's the top 10 all-time New Year's resolutions. Now, do you know that 30% of the people who make New Year's resolution fail to keep the New Year's resolution that they themselves make within the first week? Within the first week. So John, keep your New Year's resolution until week 2, you will be in a good club, right? If you go to the gym regularly, next week, you should expect your gym to be flooded with new people. But don't complain, because the week after is going to return to normal again. All right? So that's the beauty. The question is, why do so many people fail at making New Year's resolution? Have you thought about that? I mean, like 90% of the people will stop doing the New Year's resolutions by July. 90%. That's almost all of them. Why? Could it be because we're not actually tackling the problems that we think are there? I want to show you a short music video. It's a beautiful song by one of my favorite singers, Michael Gungo. And it's called Beautiful Things. And I want you to watch this short video clip. And I want you to notice because this video clip will raise a deeper issue that a lot of people don't realize that they have. And also the music video is so hopeful in terms of, you know, we can have a brighter future. So enjoy this video clip and I'll be back. What I love about that music video is that it correctly identifies the deeper issues than the 5 kilograms that we need to lose, than the debt that we need to get rid of, than the addiction that we need to try to be free from. It identifies the deeper issue. For example, this lady, one of the characters in that music video, she wrote no tip on her bill, on her check. And I think she might have a financial issue or something. Can you imagine if this girl were to make a New Year's resolution? I want to be debt-free. I want to have financial freedom. But she, if she failed to understand that her deeper issue is actually not finance, you know what it is? It's greed. That's the deeper issue. That's why a lot of people, when they make New Year's resolution, they can't keep it because they're not tackling the deeper issue. I want to teach you a principle today that's very, very important, especially if you're still at school, especially if you're still at uni. I'm telling you, you have a fresh slate. I wish someone had taught me this early on in my younger days. But if you are out of school, I'm telling you, it's not too late. What passed is past, but you still can look into the future, just like this music video. You still can make a change in your life if you just understand the principle. So are you ready? I want to teach it to you. The principle is this. It's very powerful. It is always a mistake to decide what you want to accomplish before you first determine who you want to be. It is always a mistake to decide what you want to do. I'm talking about vocation-wise. I want to be an engineer. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a politician, which is great. Or maybe it has to do with your New Year's resolution. I want to do this. I want to do that. It is a mistake, let me tell you, to decide what you want to do or accomplish before you first determine who you want to be on the inside. All right? You know why? Because who you are on the inside will eventually show up in what you do. Maybe not next week, maybe not next month, but sometime in the future, who you really are will show up in what you do. You won't see it on the first week of work, you won't see it in the first year of marriage, but let me tell you, who you are will finally caught up to you in what you do. So that's why it's important for you, before you even decide, I want to do this, I want to do that, you have to first decide, who do you want to be as a person? And we all know this, right? I mean, we all read newspaper, we all watch TV, gossip column, how some powerful people in the world, movie stars, politicians, sports star, they mess up their life, right? Why? Because they don't first determine who they want to be, but to do. Let me give you a few examples. Do you know this guy? Antoine Walker blew $110 million of his earnings and was forced to file for bankruptcy 2 years after retiring from the NBA. And he's not the only professional sports person who does this. You will know this person better. Kevin Hart admitted to cheating on his wife while she was pregnant with their son. And then he apologized to her and to his two other children from the previous marriage. And in his Instagram, he wrote, "I'm not perfect and have never claimed to be." Does Kevin Hart have talent? You betcha. He's the funniest man alive. Does he know early on he wanted to be a comedian? Maybe he does. So what's the problem? The problem is he doesn't first decide who he wants to be as a person before deciding what he wants to do. And if you think this is just a problem for the secular world, you're wrong. This is a big problem in churches as well. Some of you oldies will know this person, Jimmy Swaggart. He's a very famous, well, was a very famous international evangelist who was on TV everywhere around the world. He was implicated in a sex scandal involving a prostitute that resulted in his suspension. And then, after he was reinstated, 3 years later, again, he was implicated for another scandal involving another prostitute. What's the problem? The problem is when you don't know who you want to be, you are in for a big, big trouble. You know why? Because achieving success without first deciding what kind of person you want to be, it is a disaster waiting to happen. Let me tell you. Your talent, or another way to put it is this. Your talent may take you to a place where your character cannot sustain you. right? You have the talent that will take you to the very top. You may get to the very top of the food chain, but let me tell you, your character will determine how people will associate your name with what you've done in this world, right? I guarantee it. You may have the good looks, you may be attractive, you may be able to draw people to yourself. But let me tell you, your life without fail will determine your ability to enjoy a relationship, will determine the success of that relationship, because your talent can only take you so far. You see two chairs here. A lot of people take the second chair right away. I want to be this. I want to do this. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a missionary. I want to be an engineer, a lawyer, a politician, whatever. But they fail to first sit on the first chair, the most important chair. By the way, they're not in competition with one another. I'm not telling you to stop doing your New Year's resolution. No, right? Be a high achiever. Go for it. But you first must decide, before you do that, what kind of person you want to be. Because the principle is always true. It is always a mistake to decide this place, what you want to do, before determining who you want to be. So how do we do that? Well, you need to set some B goals. You need to know what you want to be. Decide who you want to be before deciding what you want to accomplish in your life. I want to read you a story, a very, very powerful story from the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible, we call it the Old Testament. And it's a story about a young man who was actually captured as a prisoner of war, if you like. But he did so well where he was that he was promoted to the highest place possible. I mean, you know the story of him in a different part, but this part of the story you may not know. I'm talking about Daniel. I know you know the story of the Daniel and the lion's den, but this happened way, way before Daniel and the lion's den. And you will see that Daniel is a be person first before he is a do person. He was very clear who he wants to be as a person before even doing great things for God. And this is what happened. Let me read to you from Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Darius, that's King Darius, decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces. And he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. At this point, let me just stop right here. Darius was the third king of the Persian Empire, and the empire was massive, let me tell you. The Persian Empire was the superpower of their day. Central Asia, West Asia, Africa, Egypt, they're all part of the Persian Empire. So Darius captured all the enemies, brightest and youngest, brought them to his kingdom. And then, because Daniel did so well, he was made the administrators. You know, not secretary, but administrators over high-ranking officers, right? He and two other guys. And it didn't stop there. He did even better as an administrator that King Darius soon promoted him. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. And listen to this. Because of Daniel's great ability, let me tell you, your talent will take you to the highest place possible. The king made plans to place him over the entire empire. So then Daniel would only be second to King Darius, right? Guess what happened? People, his competitors, the other administrators were not happy about that, and this is what they did. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. They were beginning to dig some dirt on Daniel's lives, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was, listen to this, faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. How powerful was that? Before he was even an administrator, he has already proven himself. He was a be person first before he is a do person. He is faithful, responsible, always trustworthy. Has nothing to do with doing, but has everything to do with being. Am I right? Now, wouldn't you like to be like Daniel? I would love to be like Daniel. I'm Daniel, but I would love to be like that Daniel. I would love for when people try to dig for some dirt over my life, they will not find perfection, but they will find consistency. That what I say and what I do actually match. That I'm a person of integrity. That's what I want people to find. That I am who I say I am. You see, it is very important. How do we do this? It's not easy to do this, right? That's why you have to have a B list. You have to have this B list. What do you want to be, all right? Because all of you have the same potential as me to be like any of those powerful people that I've already shown you. I mean, we said to each other, right? Man, if I have that kind of money, I will not waste it. Man, if I'm married to that person, I will not get a divorce. Man, you know, if I have that influence like that pastor, I will not squander it. Well, it's easy for you to say, but let me tell you, you and I have the same ability to be like them if you don't first decide who you want to be. Because your character won't be able to catch up with the success that you have. That's the problem with a lot of people, right? That's why if I'm like that, then you will read me in the newspaper, pastor embezzled money from church. And then you would say, I was suspicious of him. He looked suspiciously fat the last few months. Right? I don't want to be that person. So, a few years ago, Stephen Covey, who wrote a really, really great book, I highly encourage you to read it if you haven't read it, called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And in that book, he wrote this, he gave this very, very powerful suggestion, all right? If you want to be a B person, if you want to create a list of who you want to be as a person, he gave this exercise that I believe every one of you should do. And the exercise is very simple. What you need to do is to create a list, like maybe draw concentric circles, if you like, and put within that circle, as it grows larger and larger, right, some names of the people who matter to you, okay? Your family, your wife, your children, your co-workers, your neighbors, your parents, whatever. Whoever you think people who matter to you, put them on that list. And he asked you to do this, which is a very, very cool exercise, all right? I did this, and I encourage you to do it. He said, what would you want people to say about you at your funeral? What would you want your closest people who matter to you, say about you at your funeral? Suddenly, you'll be surprised how everything becomes clear. Do you want people to talk about your car? Do you want people to talk about how big your house is? Do you want people to say, what a great manager, what a great director you are at the office? Is that what you want people closest to you to say about you? Or you want them to say something else about you? How would you define success, in other words, in your life? Success that really matters to you, not to everybody else, but success that really, really matters to you. Maybe you should come up with a sentence or a paragraph or a word. It doesn't matter. But do the exercise and list some of the things that you want people to say about you at your funeral. I give you some samples of mine, all right? I want people to say that I'm honest. I want people to say that I'm honest. That I'm a person of integrity, right? That honesty is not just telling the truth. Honesty is so important. Another thing that you need to do is this. Ask yourself, why is this important to me? So that you will be thinking, not just putting some random words that mean nothing to you, but ask yourself, and your list might look different from other people's list, by the way, okay? So you need to ask yourself and do this very slowly. If it takes you 2 weeks to do it, if it takes you 2 years to do it, you need to do it. Why do you want to be honest? Why is honesty so important, for example? Well, I believe honesty is important because honesty is the foundation of all good relationships. Honesty is the foundation of all good relationships. You take away honesty, you take away that relationship. Am I right? That's why honesty is very important to me. But honesty is not just telling the truth. Honesty is about answering the question, is this relationship important to me? Right? Because I know a lot of people who tell the truth, but they're very nasty about it. Correct? You gotta tell the truth in love. Let me talk to my people, the husbands. If your wife asks you a question, does these jeans make me look fat? Before you answer that question, let me ask you, is relationship important to you? If it's important to you, you lie. I'm just kidding. If it's important to you, you tell the truth in love. Am I right? I had a story about a husband who was asked that very question by the wife. Honey, does this jeans make me look fat? And the husband said, no, the jeans don't make you look fat. Your butt makes you look fat. And oh man, that's bad. Don't do that. But honest, I want to be a person known for his honesty. Another thing I want people to know about me or to remember me by is that I'm kind. I want people, my wife, to say, I don't always agree with him. I want my coworkers, Mike, John, I don't always agree with Pastor Daniel, but I know this one thing for sure, that he's always kind towards me. I want that to be my legacy. I want to be known as a family man. I want Jaden at my funeral to be able to say about me, my dad puts me first above his job. My dad puts me first above his own interests. I want my son to be able to say that about me. One last one, just an example. You don't have to copy my list, you can have your own list, all right? I want to be known as a generous person because I believe everything I have comes from God. I believe even my very breath comes from God. So I need to be generous. My salvation comes from Jesus Christ, comes from God. So I need to be generous with my salvation. That's why I keep telling you, don't keep the salvation to yourself. That's why we created this church, this environment, because we want to proclaim this great news of God's salvation to all the world. I want you to be generous with your time. I want you to, you know, because your time comes from God as well. God created you. Only God knows when this time is going to end. So you need to be generous with your time. You need to be generous with your money as well. Why is it important? Because if you're not generous with your money, for example, your possession will possess you. You got to be careful with that. I know some of you are competing with your dad's car, competing with your dad's, you know, hobby. Why? Because people sometimes are not generous. And that's why it is important for us to be generous. And this is what Stephen Covey said. This is not a direct quote, but a paraphrase. He said, what you want said about you at your funeral is your personal definition of success. That's it. You know, nothing more, nothing less. And this is so important that you get this. What you want said about you at your funeral is your personal definition of success. So then, suddenly, everything becomes important to you, right? It becomes like a guardrail for you. So if you're not honest, for example, it's not just you sin. Forget about maybe you're not a Christian. You don't care about sin or not sin. But if you're not, let's say honesty is something that you want to be known as, then if you're not honest, it's not just you sin, but you actually fail at something. And that's a big deal for you because that's your own definition of what success is. So, final thoughts from me. I want you to set some big goals, all right? you have a lot of time. I give you until the end of January. Yeah, you know, maybe you can hold off doing the New Year's resolution until you do this. Decide who you want to be before deciding what you want to accomplish. Because let me tell you, God has given you so much talent, you can go places. Young people, especially young people, you will be leaders in this country. You'll be leaders of big corporations. But can your character sustain you there? That's the question, right? Or, if not, we'll be reading about you, just like we read about Kevin Hart. People will say about you, man, if I have his position, I wouldn't do such a silly thing. Man, if I'm married to that person, I wouldn't do such a silly thing. They will say that about you. But you can prevent that from happening when you set yourself some B goals. This is what I want to be before everything else. In closing, Jesus Christ said the same thing. In the greatest sermon ever, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, and a lot of pastors, unfortunately, have preached this wrong, thinking that this is something we got to do as Christians, as followers of Christ. No, this is something we must be. Listen to this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. See, these are not doing stuff. This is being stuff. Jesus said, if you are these people, then you are blessed. Maybe the world will not consider you a success in however the world defines success. But let me tell you, God is on your side. Because God created you to be that person. Every person is unique. God created you to be that person. There's nothing God desires more than to help you to be that person. And when you try to be that person, you are blessed, God says. So 2018, make it a pivotal year in your life. I know some of you think, oh man, I'm close to retirement now. It's a bit too late for me. As I said earlier, you can't change the past. But as long as you're still breathing right now, as long as you still can get up in the morning, that means you still have a chance to make a difference in this world. If it means for you to ask for forgiveness from your children, ask forgiveness from your children. If it means saying sorry to your wife, to your husband, say sorry to your wife, to your husband. If it means, I don't know what it means, right? But you got to decide before God calls you home, what kind of person do I want to be? And as long as God gives you the breath to breathe, be that person. God will help you. He makes all things beautiful, right? Like that Polaroid girl I love at the end of that music video. She went toward the screen as if like she's taking a picture of us, that we too can have a new beginning. We too can have a new future. Let's bow our head. I want to give you a moment to just reflect on what you just heard and ask the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you personally. Ask the Spirit of God to reveal to you what is inside your heart. As we close 2017, I don't want this year to pass you by without you making a new determination to be the person that God has always known you can be. God wants you to be that person. God will partner with you to be that person. So involve Him. You can't do it alone. You need His wisdom, you need His strength, you need His grace to be able to do this. And God is on your side. He wants you to be the person He has created you to be. Father God, we thank you for what we just heard. Give us the wisdom, Holy Spirit, to know what to do with it. I pray that this sermon will not just be another sermon that we hear, but I pray that this will be a life-changing experience for all of us. Help us, Lord, to be honest with ourselves. Help us to look inside the deepest, darkest secrets of our hearts and bring it to light so that we can be the person you always wanted us to be. Thank you for giving us new hope. Thank you for giving us new future. Thank you for letting us know that your grace will always be sufficient for us, that your power is made perfect in our weakness. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Why don't you stand on your feet right now as we close together. If you need any prayer for whatever reason, please come forward. Our prayer leaders would love to pray for you. And also, don't go home right away if you're new to our church. Our new guest lounge is just outside in the foyer area. We would love to catch up with you. And what else? Answer is happening, child dedication. So enjoy New Year's Eve tonight. Be safe and come back Sunday, first Sunday in 2018, don't miss it. If you come back on the first Sunday of 2018, you can call your grandma and say, "Grandma, guess what? I never missed church this year." Okay. Let me dismiss you with a prayer of blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you wherever you go. May God bless your family. May God bless your work, your ministry, and everything that you do so that through you, people around you will be blessed. May you be the person God always known you can be. May His grace be evident in your life now until He comes again. Let God's name be praised. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful week, everybody.